You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We try to do this on the first Monday of every month. It's an opportunity to highlight businesses in Wisconsin outside of the dairy industry. So we are delighted to welcome our guest to a segment, Calvin, that we call
Beyond the Cheese.
Mitchell Hoyt is our guest. He's the founder and owner of Skinny Sticks Maple Syrup, joining us from his car as he makes deliveries across the state. Mitch, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. How you doing?
Hey, Jane, Greg, nice to be with you guys this morning.
Really excited to talk to you. Where are you?
Calvin, sorry. I'm actually out in Sioux Falls, South Dakota right now. I had deliveries across Minnesota and northern South Dakota this morning. And just finished up here, and now I'm heading out to Rapid City, South Dakota.
Boy, you are really hands-on, man.
Yeah. Been doing this route for 10 years. I have a few distributors out here that carry our product, but there's a few stores that just don't buy from one of the distributors I'm in, one or the other, and these guys have helped me found this company from the go, and so I just kind of feel loyal about coming out and keeping them stocked up with maple syrup.
Good for
you. That's so wonderful.
That's incredible customer service, Mitch. Seriously, I don't know that anybody does that anymore. Well, tell us a little bit about the story of Skinny Sticks. First of all, how you got started in maple syrup, and then I want to talk to you about the name of Skinny Sticks. We'll get to that in a minute because your kids are involved in that. But talk to us, first of all, about how you got into producing maple syrup.
So I was attending a trade show down in Neillsville for a company I was working for called Membrane Processing Controls. When I worked for that company, we built RO systems, nano micro filtration systems for the food, dairy, and beverage industry. And in 2008, the economy kind of took a downturn. And so the big projects for like the Mullins cheese, Sargento's, Belgiosio's, AMPI's were kind of just on hold. And so the company founder, Joel Stenzel, started building these small RO machines for the maple industry, for maple producers, so you could concentrate up your sap prior to cooking it, save a lot of time and fuel. And so while attending that expo, a maple syrup producer and I kind of hit it off, and he says, hey, he asked me if I drink, and I said, well, I like a little wine. I said, and I like a brandy old fashioned once in a while. And he said, oh, I got something you might like. So I rolled over to his table and he poured, I better shut off my GPS here. And he poured this little paper cup, this clear liquid. And I took a drink and I'm like, whoa, I mean, it was maple wine. And I started thinking to myself, I got maple trees. I can make this. And so I'm paralyzed from the chest down, okay? So my wife and kids are going to have to go out and tap these trees and do this stuff for me, you know, doing the collecting. And so I bought some equipment so that we could tap in our backyard. And I called my wife on the way home and said, hey, hon, will you help me tap some trees this year? And she hesitated a little bit. She's like, oh, sure. And I told her what I wanted to do, but I could picture this really light-bodied white maple wine being sold as a dessert wine in high-end restaurants. I mean, the marketing wheels were just turning.
Sure.
And so anyhow, so they tapped those trees that 10, I bought 25 taps and bags and holders and whatnot. And we tapped 10 trees in the backyard. And these were some like 25-year-old maple trees that had been planted back in 1982 by the prior owners of this property. And for several days, we were getting nothing. And so I called some other guys around that do maple syrup. And I was asking, hey, is your sap running? They're like, yep, it's running good. So I was like, what am I doing wrong? Or I was thinking, what did the girls do wrong? But they didn't do nothing wrong. We went over by Stetsonville, and I used to own 40 acres over there. And I put the other 15 taps out there because they were much larger trees. And that was on a Friday. Then on Saturday, we went out there to check on it, and the bags were all half full. I'm like, yeah, we're going to get the sap I need to be able to make this wine. And we went out on Sunday, and all of my bags and taps and holders were gone. Somebody had come on Saturday night and stole them all.
No.
And I was just shaking. Yeah, I'm like, oh, I was so mad. I wanted to start cursing their daughters and wives and to be barren. You know, I'm like, I was so mad. And my wife reminds me, she said, how are we supposed to treat people who misuse us? I said, we're supposed to pray for them. So I prayed that whoever stole that stuff would be so wealthy and successful, they never feel like they need to steal again. And we went home, and there's those 10 we had left sitting at home, and the bags are just flapping in the wind. And I prayed, actually. I said, God, you know, you make the trees grow and the sap flow. You know what I want to do? Please give me what I need. And so the next morning, I came out, and those bags were still flapping in the wind. I went to work and came home that night. And during the day, they just turned on. And two of the bags got, they pulled out of the tree. The bags got so heavy, so full of sap. Yeah. And so I got the sap I needed. We ended up getting about 80 gallons of sap.
Wow.
I made 50 gallons of maple wine out of that sap. And the amazing thing was the sap out of those trees was 4 to 8 bricks, depending on which tree we were testing. And a normal Wisconsin tree is like 1.5 for soft maple, up to 2.5. That's kind of your average range of sugar content in your sap. And these trees were amazing. And so I made my 50 gallons of wine, and I had the sap left over. And I asked my friend Dougie if he wanted the sap. And he said, nah, it wasn't worth his time to cook down. He said, just boil that down on your stove. And I asked him, well, how do I know if it's syrup? He said, well, you boil a pot of water next to your sap. And he said, as your water evaporates, your sap becomes more dense and it holds more heat. And once your sap is boiling 7 degrees above the boiling point of water, he said, you'll have perfect syrup. And so I washed it carefully and I did that. And we ended up making 8 quarts of syrup. And I bottled that up in just mason jars. And I gave some to the neighbor down the road whom we bought the property from, some friends, family. And in a month, and I told the neighbor down the road about how fantastic the sap was. It didn't take hardly any, like 30 gallons, and we made 8 quarts. And Helen was like, oh, I was wondering if those trees were going to be as good as advertised. And I said, what are you talking about? So those 50 trees in our backyard were planted by them in 1982, were part of a tree improvement program developed by the University of Cornell. And they partnered with the University of Wisconsin, and the University of Wisconsin reached out to maple syrup producers back then and asked them if they wanted any of these super sweet maple trees.
Cool.
And they're not genetically modified. What happened was most maple syrup producers will tell you certain trees have higher sugar content than others. And so what the University of Cornell did is they went out into the Appalachian Mountains and they tested over 55,000 maple trees. And of the 55,000, they took cuttings off of 55 of those, the highest sugar producing trees they found, and they put them on rootstock and grew trees out of those that they called super sweets. And then they let them go to seed after time. And those trees produced these super sweets that I have. There were 500 trees offered to the maple syrup producers of Wisconsin back in 1982. Nolan Helen planted them in a hay field just north of their house. they went out on lottery. So a maple syrup producer, 10 maple syrup producers in the state of Wisconsin had the opportunity to purchase 50 of these trees. And Noel and Helen just happened to really take care of them, plant them in the hay field north of the house and watered them through the droughts, pulled the sap suckers off as they grew. And the other producers that got them planted them out in their woods where predation got them. Squirrels and deer chew them off. They're very sweet. So this is the only known, what would we call sugar bush of those original super sweets in 1982. The rest of them are dead. So we have people that come by and will buy a few trees every year. So, you know, that's how I got started. And a month later, after I had given the syrup away, I started hearing back from people that, well, it's the best syrup we've ever had. If you make that again next year, don't give it to us. We'll buy it from you.
Yeah.
And so next year come around and I tapped those trees behind my house. And I tapped the trees, some trees up the road on a church woods. And when I made the maple syrup from behind our house, again, it was fantastic. It's a butterscotch flavored maple syrup. But the syrup I made from those soft maples on the church woods had a cinnamon flavor to it. And so I called Dougie and asked him, I said, am I doing something wrong? I said, my syrup hasn't got a very strong maple flavor. It's butterscotch and cinnamon. And Doug said, no, that'll happen depending on your woods. And, you know, every year it'll change. And sometimes day to day, your flavor will change depending on where you get your sap from that day. So I ended up doing a little research, and the University of Cornell did a study back in the 80s, and they identified over 300 distinct flavors of maple syrup that are naturally occurring, whether it's honey, butter, vanilla, butterscotch, cinnamon, mocha.
That's wild.
Those flavors are developed based on your soil type, your tree genetics, and your processing and growing conditions. And so in central Wisconsin, we have a really highly sought after flavor. It's that nice buttery vanilla flavor. In western Wisconsin, the producers over there will make seem to have a lot stronger maple flavor until you get down into the sandy bottoms near Ogallee or the Mississippi River, and they produce a really nice earth tone flavored maple syrup. It's almost nutty. I told the one producer, I'd love to buy all of his syrup, but my wife doesn't like it. She's like, well, I eat maple syrup. Like, it is. You know, I told my buddy, I said, if you could tell me you're tapping butternut trees, I said, I could bottle that up as butternut syrup and sell the heck out of that. But it's maple syrup. It just doesn't have that maple flavor. So
that's so interesting.
There's a lot of variety here in Wisconsin.
Mitch Hoyt is our guest. He's the founder and owner of Skinny Sticks Maple Syrup. Mitch, we got a break coming up in just a second. But so it's kind of like honey, because I have heard, too, that honey will have different flavors depending upon where in the country it is and what pollens and flowers the bees are feeding upon and everything like that. So it kind of... We're going to have a maple syrup tasting.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to continue our conversation with Mitch Hoyt on the other side. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're going beyond the cheese with maple syrup. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Beyond the cheese.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. On the first Monday of every month, we try to go beyond the cheese and highlight a business or industry in Wisconsin outside of the dairy industry. And we are joined by the founder and owner of Skinny Sticks Maple Syrup. Mitch Hoyt is joining us as he's on the road making deliveries of maple syrup. That's the kind of hands-on service that you get from this man. And Mitch, I just want to share one text that came in from Marion Wauwatosa. She says, I just love heartfelt success stories like this maple syrup entrepreneur. And so well done to you. You're also a U.S. Army veteran, and thank you for your service. But let's talk a little bit about the name, where Skinny Sticks came from, because from what I understand, your kids were involved in this.
Yeah, so when we grew to the point after that second year, there was a store in Wausau that said they'd like to carry my product. And I, at that point, when you start selling retail, you have to become licensed. And I just didn't know how big this thing was going to get. So we decided, yeah, let's give it a try. So we got inspected, and we had to come up with a name for our company. And I asked the girls what we should call it. And my daughters were saying stuff like Hoyt's Maple Syrup or Hoyt's Sugar Bush. And I said, girls, anybody can put a name on the bottle, a bottle, and sell a product. I said, I'd like to create a brand. Like it to identify the source of the product, which are these tall leafless trees we tap every spring. And if it means something to us personally, that's just a bonus. And my wife was in the kitchen. She overheard this and she's like, hey, how about Skinny Sticks? I'm like, you're a genius. Several years earlier, our daughters had, when I'd been in my accident in 06 that paralyzed me, my daughters had asked what our last name meant. And so we did some research, and Hoyt traces its origins back to a 1400s old English word that was used by the English lords to describe their Scottish sharecroppers. And they would call these Scottish sharecroppers Hoyts. And the literal translation of Hoyt is tall, skinny stick. So they were literally tall, scrawny Scotsmen. And so I'm like, Chris, as genius. You know, this was destiny. We were meant to be syrup producers in America. So That's where the name comes from, and it identifies the source primarily, and it does mean something to us personally. So we put the S apostrophe on the end as a possessive plural, and I've had grammar Nazis reach out to me and say, hey, you got your apostrophe in the wrong spot on your name, and we don't. It's possessive plural, meaning it's Hoyts. It belongs to all the Hoyts.
Gotcha.
Hoyts maple syrup.
Gotcha. Isn't that funny? You know what? That just makes me laugh, Mitch, because you could have the best tasting maple syrup on the planet that is life changing, and there's always someone who's going to come out and say, but your apostrophe is in the wrong place.
Well, actually, your grammar is all wrong. I don't know if you knew that, but you're welcome.
It's just so us. It's just so people. Where can people get your products? Where can people get Skinny Sticks maple syrup?
Okay, so this is amazing that I picked up 400 stores DSD in that third year. And a distributor picked up our product out of Des Moines. They distribute to all the Hy-Vee stores in the nation, Fairways in Iowa. And then
he just froze. We'll see if he comes back in just a second. While he's frozen, we are going to give Mitch one of our highly exclusive and much sought after Beyond the Cheese hats, courtesy of Wisconsin knitwear. Stephen Aronzo had those made for us. If you would like one, the first caller to call through right now at 855-752-4842, the first caller to call right now, we will also send you a Beyond the Cheese hat. Courtesy, again, of Stephen Aronzo from Wisconsin Knitwear.
And if you're interested in finding out, if Mitch doesn't come back in time, if you're interested in finding out where you can find their product.
He might be on the phone.
He might be on the phone right now, Calvin. We will also have a link to their website so you can find out all. Because you can order directly from their website as well.
Which is great. Let's help support this local Wisconsin maple syrup producer. When he talked about the smooth buttery. You had me at smooth and buttery.
Did anyone else hear Django?
I did. It's just and you can bake with maple syrup instead of sugar.
Yeah.
You can put it on oatmeal, which would definitely help oatmeal.
Okay. All right. Calm down. It's fine. We'll go. Also, and I didn't know this until they offered it as a big name thing. You can warm it up and put it on pancakes.
Oh yeah.
I never knew that until they came out with that product where you're like, you could put this in the microwave. I don't know. I'm not a worldly man. I've only been to Illinois.
Well, again, thank you to Mitch Hoyt. He is the owner and founder of Skinny Sticks Maple Syrup, also a U.S. veteran.
Yes.
Thank you for your service, and thank you so much for joining us today. He is out on the road, literally.
He's in South Dakota right now.
Making deliveries of maple syrup, so thank you very much. Calvin, did we get a winner for the hat? For the Beyond the Cheese hat.
Yeah, shout out to our loyal listener and caller, Cindy from Appleton.
All right,
Cindy.
Cindy, it is on the way. Appreciated it. Thanks again to Mitch Hoyt. Be safe on the roads. And again, we'll put all of his contact information in our show notes, which you can find on our website at civicmedia.us. Just go up to the top, click on shows, go to Matt and Air on Air, and then look for today's episode. We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Calvitini on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our thanks again to Mitch Hoyt from Skinny Sticks Maple Syrup, and we will include all of the links in our show notes. You can probably order directly from him, and you can also find Skinny Sticks Maple Syrup at Pick and Save.
Yeah, Pick and Save, Festival.
So, yeah, this has really grown into a great big thing, which is awesome.
Love it.
And what a nice man.
He's so sweet.
What a nice man.
Absolutely wonderful. Congratulations to Cindy from Appleton for winning the Beyond the Cheese hat.
Absolutely. And thank you again to Stephen Aranzo from Wisconsin Knitwear, who made those for us out of the kindness of his heart.
And I just want to post a live stream chat. We were talking about all the things you can do with maple syrup. And Shizu on the live stream says, in the winter, you can make maple syrup popsicles in the snow.
That sounds so good.
I want a maple syrup popsicle right now, Jane.
I want to do a maple syrup taste test.
I think it's only the right thing to do.
I think we should.
I think
the station should send us somewhere.
The credibility of our show is on the line.
Yes. Yes, Sage.
Sage
Wild.
Are you out there?
This is important.
The people have spoken, and by people, I mean Jane and I.
Yes.
Calvin's on board, too.
Calvin, too. But again, thanks to Mitch Hoyt. And if you have someone in your circle, in your town, someone that you know who has a business outside of dairy that you would like to see on Beyond the Cheese, please let us know. Seriously, send it to Jane Says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Again, if maybe you have a business that is unique to Wisconsin, that is outside of the dairy industry, and we love our dairy farmers and we love our farmers, but it's just an opportunity to highlight other things like Wisconsin maple syrup.
Absolutely.
Okay. Over the weekend, the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association handed out their awards in Madison. And we we really had a good time.
We did, yes.
We
yes,
had
we,
a really good time.
Yeah.
We were honored, Civic Media, honored to have 38 finalists across the network. We had 11 first place winners, including the wonderful Maggie Dawn Show, Community Stories, Melissa Kay, mm-hmm. Mino and the Mayor. Also got recognition for specialty programs, including Northern Lighting on Todd Alba's show and WFHR's Elf Call Center. Also awards for Civic Media News teams on WFHR in Rapids, WXCO in Wausau, WRJN and WAUK here in Southeast Wisconsin, WLCX in La Crosse, and also WISS in Oshkosh and Appleton. So congratulations to all of our colleagues here at Civic Media. But we did go to the event in Madison, and the station was nice enough to put us up.
We got fancy, too.
We got fancy rooms.
We got fancy.
I was awake all night.
Yeah.
Because of the pillows. So here's.
Sorry, I'm not laughing, but I'm laughing.
It's very important and very serious, Greg. This is the episode that we like to call Audio Sorbet,
mm-hmm.
where we lighten things up. So here is the critical question for this half hour. Pillows. Soft, flat and squishy, or big and puffy? 855-752-4842. Pillows, what is your preference? Flat and squishy or soft and puffy? 855-752-4842. Pillow preference.
Pillow preference.
Pillow preference.
I really enjoy this.
Is what we're talking about for today's audio sorbet. Flat and squishy or big and puffy? 855-752-4842. I say this because, again, I was awake all night
mm-hmm.
at our hotel in Madison. Very nice hotel. I have no complaints with the hotel.
Yeah.
Except for the pillows.
They had a really good breakfast. Okay.
They were these great, big, puffy pillows.
Yeah. Well,
you can't squish down.
They had four per bed.
Yes.
Two long, traditional, and then two, I believe, smaller decorative that were more squarish, in my room at
least. Oh, I didn't have those.
Yeah. I just sort of, I was, to borrow a word from Dan Schaefer, discombobulated after the event, because it was late, I'm old, I was so
tired.
And I just kind of, and when I say stumbled, I don't mean because I was partying, I was just so tired. I just kind of like went to bed and just fell asleep. And the next morning I woke up and realized that, like, yeah, my head was up pretty high because the pillow situation was vast.
Yes, they're great, big, puffy pillows, which is wonderful if you want to watch TV. Because I watched Correct. TV for a little while, yeah. You know, and so you got nice back support and all that mm-hmm. stuff. But when I tried to lay down to go to sleep, my head is up too high.
Yeah.
It's like I need a flat, squishy pillow.
And not just using one pillow alone did achieve that goal for you?
If I could have ironed that pillow, I would
wow.
have. To get it to flatten out a little bit. 855-752-4842. Alicia on the live stream says soft and puffy.
Yeah, soft. Get soft. Okay, all right. So, and then Shiju on the live stream says, I have a Sleep Number bed and all the pillows, six regular, soft and squishy, one pregnancy, one contour, one buck week, and one reading. Not to mention, I'm a blanket hoarder.
Wow.
Only the best for my fibro.
Oh, she got fibromyalgia.
Yeah. But I mean, it's, that's a setup.
That is, a reading pillow, a sleeping pillow.
Do you have a contemplation pillow?
PJ on the live stream. I love my down feather pillows.
Okay.
See, and I prefer a feather pillow because, again, you can manipulate it. You can mm-hmm. squish it. You can
gaslight it. Oh, sorry. No. So my pillow situation has changed now. And before the CPAP came into my life,
yes,
I had a two pillow situation. I had a memory foam pillow
okay.
as kind of my base. But then I had a more pillow that was easier to move around and
Manipulate.
Yeah, yeah.
So not a foam. It
no,
wasn't
not
a foam
a,
pillow.
Not a foam, no, your traditional pillow. Now that I have the CPAP machine, I sleep on my back in one position. Because the other thing, too, is before the CPAP, I would toss and turn.
Like all night.
All night long, toss and turn. And now, because of this, because of the machine, I sleep on my back like a plank in one position all
night. You're like Lily Munster?
It's really weird, folks. I feel like I wake up and like nothing has moved on my body. Like I'm just like, my eyes open. I'm like, I'm awake again. But now I just use the memory foam pillow because I want to be as flat as possible.
Yes.
And the other pillow is too soft. So it's perfect. It's perfect the way it is. So now I have to have a memory foam pillow to maintain just like my shape and whatnot. It's very, very weird.
But I'm with you. See, and I have a memory foam pillow that's really flat.
Yeah.
It's like it's like this. Because I just okay. I can't do the big unless it's very if I can manipulate it and squish it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes it better.
I think the memory foam pillow I have is probably about it's 6 or 7 inches thick. So it is perfect. My head lays comfortably in it, but it doesn't go all the way to the bed. Where like it's like you ever sleep on a blow up mattress and you wake up in the morning and you're in the middle and the both sides are like
crumpy.
Now I never
you're like in a taco.
I never I'm in a taco bed. It's taco bed is and I'm the meat. sees you. The contour pillows are memory foam and work awesome for CPAP and cervical support. There you go.
Well, there you go. Brian from Milwaukee on the text line. Pillows need to be not too soft, not too hard, in the middle.
Oh, he's a Goldilocks.
Plus, as a side sleeper, it needs to be able to hold my shoulders and head in alignment.
See, that was the other thing, too, is like, and that's Calvin, I asked you the question about your pillow situation, and I don't mean to make it about like age or like, you know, you're young, you enjoy it.
You can sleep anywhere.
Exactly. I feel like young people don't talk about this that much unless they suffer from back pain because they can sleep anywhere. And it's not until you're like mid to late 30s where sleeping in the wrong position on the wrong thing, you'll wake up the next morning and feel like someone has punished you.
You'll be in pain.
But Calvin, what is your pillow situation?
Yeah, I'm with Brian. I'm a side sleeper. So I want my pillow to be hold my head so my neck is straight.
Mm-hmm. So it's flatter, though.
Yeah.
So you would be flatter.
Relatively flatter. And I will say to Greg's point about I have noticed, and the thing that might finally get me to stop sleeping on my side, even though I won't, is my hips sometimes do hurt in the morning. I don't have any neck or back issues, but my hips.
Give it time.
This is what awaits you,
friend. You're going to fall asleep. And this is how it's going to happen. You're going to be like 34. You're going to take a nap on the couch with a bad pillow or no pillow, and you're going to wake up, and it's going to feel like someone punched you in your neck.
Ow, ow.
Hard.
What is your pillow preference? That's the question. 855-752-4842. Flat and squishy.
Oh.
Or big and puffy. 855-752-4842. Liz from Saukville, listening on WAUK. Too firm and two flat pillows.
There you go.
Oh, a little bit of both.
Alicia on the live stream says, I need the soft and puffy because I have heartburn.
Mm.
That's interesting.
So I suppose you want to keep your head up.
And I have an adjustable bed frame with the head raised. Yeah, okay. All right. We for like half a minute talked about the Sleep Number bed, but I was such a bad sleeper at the time that I felt like a Sleep Number bed would be useless to me. Like it's supposed to make you, it's supposed to make you feel better, sleep better, all those things. But I was such a horrible sleeper and they're expensive.
Yes, they are expensive.
They're very expensive.
Yes.
So maybe in the future, but right now I just love a king. Also, Jane, the hotel was very nice and thank you very much for getting that for us. I really appreciate putting us up in the hotel. You know what I look like.
You're a bigger person.
I'm a giant Santa boy.
You're a larger person.
Full beds. They were full beds.
Does that feel like a twin bed to you?
It feels like a twin bed to me.
I never even thought about that.
I walked in there and I started laughing
Isn't
so
that
hard.
Cute?
Yeah, I was like, oh, I didn't realize I was sharing this with Oompa Loompas. So, yeah.
Well, I need to apologize to the maid who cleaned my room because I went from bed to bed because there were two full beds in there. And all the pillows are the same, so I don't know why. That didn't make any difference. It was still too big and puffy for me.
It's just what I'm hearing, Jane, is you were being sciencey. You were trying new things out. You were running different
experiences. I was looking for a solution.
And you said you got like an hour and a half of sleep?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and it was the pillows. So now I'm turning into one of those old people now. I have to travel with my own pillow. How humiliating.
yeah, I mean, I packed my CPAP machine. Maybe I need to pack a pillow. Actually, maybe I need to pack a pillow.
And your CPAP.
I did. Oh, and yeah. Definitely.
All right. Coming up, we're going to wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Buddy, Can You Spare a Dime edition. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Sandman, won't you bless me with a dream? Make her complexion just like peaches mixed with cream. Give her two lips that look like roses in the clover. Then tell me that my lonesome nights are over. Sandman, I'm so alone. Don't have nobody to call my own. Please turn on your magic beam, Mr. Sandman.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's week two. Week two of the new lineup.
Oh, I thought you meant Fat Bird Contest.
It's
the first full week of Fat Bird.
It's the first full week of Fat Bird voting. You can do it right now. I have it up here, actually.
I just voted this morning.
WisconsinConservation.org/fat-bird-week.
Yeah.
Wisconsin Fat Bird Week. Today's matchup between, by the way, the round yellow rumpled warbler or the well-fed yellow warbler.
Ask me who I voted for.
Who did you vote for?
Mind your business. My vote's my business. The voting's underway. Yeah, but you are correct at your original points. We are just entering finishing up week two of the new lineup
New
time. And
yep.
It's, you know.
It's great.
I'm wonderful.
If you feel like you're missing something, you can always find all of our shows all across the network.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pat Kreitlow, us, Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn, Pete Schwabba. Go to our website if you're ever looking for a show and the time has changed. Todd has moved from noon now until 2. So you can always find all our shows at civicmedia.us. Just go to the top and click on shows and then look for your show of choice. And we've got at least 100 episodes archived there. Yeah. So you can get your fill. You'll probably go, oh gosh, I'm full.
Yeah, you want to listen to us on the app, get the Civic Media app, download the show, subscribe to our show, and as many shows as you want as a podcast, because then they'll get automatically delivered to your device so you can listen right there.
Yep.
And also, and anything too, we talk about, we talk a lot about our show and Maggie's show and Todd's show and all the wonderful daytime lineup, but after Pete's done, there's also great shows happening as
Native
well.
Native Roots.
Busted
Pencils.
Rational Revolution, I believe. And you can find all those shows and our weekly shows like Amicus on Saturday.
Earl's new podcast.
And Dr. Lyerly's show as well. You get a doctor and a lawyer on the weekend. Come on now. There is so much stuff out there. Go to civicmedia.us/shows and you can see everything and you can download and just be in hog heaven.
And listen at your leisure.
Yes. As the British say, leisure.
Mm. It's getting late. 10:55, Calvin. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
This is from The Drive, Rowan Glahn with the byline. Headline reads, semi-truck spills $800,000 in dimes, causing unfathomably annoying cleanup. What a great headline. Unfathomably annoying cleanup. That's approximately 8 million dimes. And even despite the help of vacuums, Some had to be picked up by hand.
Just, you know, that fingertips and like first digit knuckles were getting scraped on there. Oh my God. Just leave them. Let people pick it up. It's fine.
Crews in Alvord, Texas recently sent out to help clean up millions of newly minted dimes. This town about an hour northwest of Dallas. Apparently the driver veered off the road early in the morning, overcorrected, and then rolled. So the trailer flipped with the truck, spilling 800,000 dimes
oh my goodness.
Onto the road. Why it was carrying so many dimes and where they were going isn't clear. But it's caused one hell of a problem. If you've ever been surprised at how much money you're carrying around just in your pockets,
yeah,
in your car, just imagine dropping 8 million dimes. Video footage shows cleaning up the spill required huge vacuum cleaners mounted on trucks, along with numerous workers with shovels, rakes, and other garden tools.
No.
Some even ended up picking up the dimes one at a time by hand. The wreck and the cleanup of the $800,000 worth of dimes, the closure was for hours. Hours. Crews were still on locations picking up coins well into the evening. The rollover happened at like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, no.
So that was a long, long process.
Oh, my goodness. That would be one point. They're like, a rake? You want me to do that with
a rake?
I quit. I quit.
Again, they still don't know how this happened. Weren't they at least in wrappers?
Well, so first of all, I just want to know the purpose of the transportation, which you said they don't know why.
They don't know why.
So is this a
heist?
A really dumb heist gone wrong? And also, yeah, they should be rolled up, or maybe they're going to a place to get rolled up. There's a lot of unanswered questions.
We'll try and do a follow-up on this and find out why. But that wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media, from traffic to our sales reps to everyone. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, then Todd Alba, 2 to 4, the award-winning, again, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6, and Pete Schwabe and Nightlight 6 to 8 p.m. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.